anti-Vietnam polemic. And he, at the end, near the end of the 20 minutes or so of the song, well, it's 18 and a half minutes, even though he says he's singing for 25. He says, the only reason I'm singing you this song now is because you may know somebody in a similar situation, or you may be in a similar situation. And if you're in the situation that there's only one thing you can do, that's walk into the shrink wherever you are, just walk in and say, shrink, you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant and walk out. And this is an anti-Vietnam polemic. You know, if one person, just one person does it, they may think he's really sick and they won't take it. And if two people do it in harmony, they may think, and he says something which is inappropriate today, and they won't take either of them. And if three people do it, three, can you imagine three people walking in, singing a bar of Alice's restaurant and walking out? They may think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day? I said 50 people a day walking in, singing a bar of Alice's restaurant and walking out. And friends, they may think it's a movement, and that's what it is, the Alice's Restaurant anti-massacre movement. And all you got to do is join singing the next time it comes around the guitar. I have a professor of computer science at Columbia who once said that most PhDs in computer science are 90% regurgitation and 10% new ideas. That, I think, is like the basis for TED Talks. And TED Talks is the idea that in 20 minutes you can digest a really big idea. And sometimes they're right. You know, you might want to then look up the proofs. But there's a rather famous TED Talk, the dancing one. Have you seen the dancing one? Leadership and Dancing is one of those, like, you know, wow, top 10 TED Talks or something. So it's done by an artist, Eric Sivers. And it basically has a few ideas on the nature of leadership. And he says the following. As a leader, you must, this is a summary, you must encourage your first followers, embrace them as equals, and treat them well. The first follower is one who turns someone from a shirtless nut into a leader. The leader will get the credit, but the followers are brave for getting it started. And once a group is formed, the rest will start flocking towards it. Suddenly, it isn't weird or risky if they're quick. If they're quick, they can still be part of the in crowd rather than feeling left behind. Sivers is really explaining a Rashi on the Chumash. One of the strangest Rashis, at least according to the Mizrahi's commentary, appears in the fifth Aliyah. This is what Rashi says. When we start spelling out, the Nesim start spelling out their various korbanot, v'yaviu at korbanot v'nei Hashem, Shesh aglot tzav, v'shnei asar, bakar, etc. Right? And the each Nasi brings a particular korban. Get to the right spot. Here they do. It gives a long preamble. We read this every Hanukkah. We read this any Hanukkah. Vayimakriv habiyom arishon a korbano nachshon ben aminadav the matay yudav a korbano karat kesef achat. We all probably know it by heart. So shem meyam yiskalam yizrak echad kesef shivin shekel b'shekel kodesh. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says, listen carefully. It's bizarre. The Mizrahi notes it's bizarre. Shloshim meyam mishkala. Why is it 30 and 100 weights of silver? Al Shem Shekeshemid Toldot Lekumalam, when God created the world, Ben Me'ot Shoshim Shanahaya, Adam Rishon was 131 years old. Before he says, Karat Kesef, Menayin Otiotot B'Gematria Tsham Odu Shoshim. Adam HaRishon was 930 years, Keneged Notav Shal Adam HaRishon. And then he spells out the years and gematrias and these weird things, and Mizrahi's really bothered by it. And he says, well, there must be a reason for these numbers of korbanot if it's not these very complicated gematrias. What's even more fascinating is, where does Rashi say that? Where does Rashi say that? He doesn't say it on Nachshon Ben Aminadav. Nachshon Ben Aminadav is the first one who brings the korban from Yehuda, but rather he says it. B'yom Hashini Hikriv Nitan El Ben Suar Nasi Yisachar. On the second day, it's Nisan El Ben Suar who's from Yisachar, and he's the only one that says Hikriv. All the rest of it mentions what their korban is, but it says he brought it,
And then Rashi gives an explanation. They're all the same. Every korban is the exact same for the 12 nasiim. Yet Rashi doesn't explain the gematrias on the first nasi. He explains them on the second nasi. And I once heard from one of my teachers, Rav Chaim Bravender, a beautiful idea about this. Everyone wants to be the first. We always want to be the leader. I often think about what would have been like to be here in 1948 to be one of the people who fought for the creation of the state of Israel, or at the very least in 67. Then it would have been exciting. Today, in 2018, I still have to pay taxes, I have to send my kids to school, and it's really can become boring. Right? I'm not a founder of the state. What special thing did I do? You see people in this country often are trying to be the pioneers, the Chalutzim. Right? You see that's one of the explanations for the reason people start new yeshuvim and all these types of things. I want to be a pioneer. But the pioneer might start something, but he doesn't create a movement. It's the second person who treads the already created path, who's willing to follow, that really builds something up. You can't always be the leader. That's important. The leader has to set the pathway. But almost more important than the leader are the first followers, the people who say, this is a good idea. Rav Lichtenstein loved to quote the comment that we say in Musaf, Tamidim kisidram musafim kehilchatam. There are the people you have. What makes a country, what makes a movement, what makes significance is not necessarily the pioneers, but the fact that people after them are willing to say, yeah, this is a good idea. So Rashi comes and says that when Bnei Yisachar come to be Makriv, when Asanel ben Suar comes to be Makriv, he adds meaning to the path that was trailblazed by Yehudah. It's often the second, the third, the fourth people who create the movement, who actually give significance. There is no leadership without people who are willing to follow. And sometimes it's the followers, as opposed to the leader, who are really the ones who blaze the trail.